you guys want to hear a funny story? Yeah. It's not the same one from the first service, so don't ruin it. Because, well, you can't anyway. So last Saturday, sorry, not last Saturday. It was not this past Friday, but the Friday before. I didn't eat lunch here, and so I was like really, really hungry. Like by the time it was like 5 o'clock, and like all I could think about was like I don't know if you guys are into this, but I'm really into like pepperoni and mushroom pizza. Yeah. And I was like all day I was just thinking about, oh man, I really want pepperoni mushroom pizza, and I want it from Rio's Pizza. Oh, really? And so I go into Pastor Drew's office. I was like, hey, Pastor Drew, do you have a dinner plan? He's like, no. I was like, let's get some Rio's Pizza. Let's get some pepperoni mushroom pizza. And then he gets excited. He's like, oh, Joel, who has the pepperoni pizza? And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, like the pepperoni pizza. That's how he talks. The pepperoni pizza. And like, and there's like this moment of just like bewilderment, because I'm like, I think he's joking. I think he's just messing with me. And I'm not responding to him. He's just like looking at me like waiting for an answer. I'm just like, and then thankfully Shayla was in there. She's like, Dad, everyone has pepperoni pizza. And he's like, and at the same time he realized it. I realized it too. He meant to say pastrami pizza. He's like, you ever had pastrami pizza? But it was just so funny. He's like, because he was like so adamant. He's like, who has the pepperoni pizza? I'm like, everyone does it. Anyways, bow your heads and close your eyes. That pizza was so good, by the way. Did you like it, sir? That's good. It was so good. We between like me, Pastor Drew, and Shayla, we ate over like half of like an extra large pizza. It was so good. And we had wings. All right, bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, God, for every single person that made the decision to come to this church today, God. Whether it's a home church or they're visiting for the first time, Lord, I thank you that there's something here for them to grab today. There's something here for them to catch, Lord. I thank you that when people walk out, they walk out differently than the way they walked in, Father. They walk out full of faith and full of hope that, God, you are on their side, Lord. That with you, nothing is impossible, no matter what issues they're going through, no matter what their thought, no matter what their emotions are tugging or pulling, that there's a higher power. You are that higher power, God, that you can intervene and that you care about your people, Lord. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, I'm not entirely sure what I'm gonna do up here. I had a message for the first service, and I just feel we should be obedient to the Holy Spirit, right? We should, and I just feel like it's a different service. Amen. And it's not a bad thing. I think, and I hope it's going to be better. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So let's go to last service. I was really talking about serving and really what you're called to do. But I want to step a little bit farther back. And we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, so God comes to this man. His name is Jeremiah. Everyone say Jeremiah. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This is God talking to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, this is Jeremiah, I said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, everyone say, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Right. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord God, or says the Lord. Someone say amen.
Amen.
So growing up, I had a father figure, and he was a pretty good father figure in my household, but it wasn't the love of a father. Does that make sense? We had an okay relationship. It wasn't bad, but it was more like, okay, like you're living here, and that was it. But when I and for those of you who don't know, my father passed away when I was 5 years old. And when I came to this church, it was a youth group. Pastor Paul was there. Pastor Paul was there. I love that guy. Pastor Paul was there, and we're doing worship, And I don't know what I'm doing there. I was there because of a girl. And but whatever. And someone scared me over there. And I was there, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just so I'm like up there, and I'm just praising and worshiping with everyone. And I don't even have a relationship with God, but I'm there. And you know, we have the words on the screen. And I'm just reading the words, and I have no idea what I'm singing, but I'm worshiping God, not knowing. And all of a sudden, it was just the weirdest thing. I'm just there. I'm like, oh, it's a cool song. I was really enjoying the song. The youth band was still good back then, and well, they're still good now. Amen. Still good now. They're great. They're a lot better now. Actually, they're really really good. And I just remember feeling this presence, which I'm sure many of you guys felt during worship. And even if you don't have a relationship with God, I feel like God is tugging at your hearts this morning. He was tugging at your hearts during worship. And I want to tell you guys about my experience. God was tugging on my heart. It was the Holy Spirit. I don't know back then. All I felt was like, I feel weird. Something's going on right here. And the only thing that made sense to me at that moment was get on your knees. So I got on my knees, and I was infilled. I was filled up with just the goodness of God. I cried. I wept. I was like, I was on the floor crying. And then Tyler and a couple other people, they laid hands on me, and they started praying for me, and I started crying even more. The service was over. People were going to the game room. I'm still crying. I had the best experience of my entire life. I met my God. I met the Savior. So with that in mind, let's read this again. Go back to verse 1. Sorry, not verse 4. Thank you. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Every single one of you, God has intimately created you. Because he desires an intimate relationship with you. Have you guys ever built something and like it was kind of, and like you, and you feel like you're attached to it because of how much you invested into it, and you're proud of it, and you don't want to let go of it? That's you guys. God took the time to create every single one of you, and God's not going to let you go. Amen? Now, whether we stay with God is not up to God. It's up to us. Amen. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord God. God is in this place, guys. And he is tugging on your hearts to jump all in. Everyone say all in.
All in.
Whether it's serving in ministry or even accepting him as your Lord and Savior. But God has big plans for every single one of you guys. And listen to this. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. So my plan after high school was to go to UC Riverside and become a neuroscientist. That's what I wanted to do. But thankfully, everyone say thank God.
Thank God.
3 months before I graduated, that's when my experience happened, and then my whole life changed. People would always ask me, you know, what do you want to do after high school? What do you want to do after high school? I was like, you know, I want to change the world. I want to make an impact. But that day, God changed my world.
Amen.
He completely changed my perspective. Now, it wasn't about going to school, it wasn't about a career, it wasn't about getting married, all it was is that God came to me and said, Joel, I'm your father. And I was like, God, I want to do everything for you. And that was 6 years ago, and honestly, I have never stopped running since. I have been so in love with Jesus, and I have only fallen more and more in love with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying it has been the easiest time of my life, but it has been the happiest, and it has been the greatest. And so now, fast forward 4 or 5 years later, I go back to my high school because we're giving out slushies and we're doing things at the high school. And so when I get to talk to my teachers, and like, oh, hey, so what are you doing now? What are you doing? You know, what's your career? And I'm like, I work at a church. Like, and like, their faces are like bewildered, like, what? Like, how did you go from neuroscientist to like, I do some media and some speaking at a church? I'm like, what? But it's interesting because as we talk and as I tell my story and the experiences I'm going through and just how much I love it, one of my teachers who made a huge impact in my life, she said, wow, at 23 years old, I didn't even know what I was doing with my life. I didn't know where I was going. But you seem so sure of what you're doing, and you seem so happy doing it. In Ephesians chapter 4, we won't go there, but Paul talks about how he's calling every single one of us to be part of God's kingdom, to serve, and how we have prophets and teachers and pastors to equip us, to empower us, to be able to do ministry and to be able to impact other people's lives and our lives. And as we do that, as every part does its share, not only will our church grow numerically, but our church grows in substance. We're not just a church with flashy lights and nice music. We're a church that opens up so that God can fill this place up with his presence. Amen? Jesus Christ is the center of this church. And so in that same part in Ephesians, he talks about how you are no longer children being tossed to and fro. You're no longer being tossed to and fro with doctrines. And I just feel like some of you today, you're just tired of being tossed to and from, whether it's by family members, whether it's by teachers, whether it's by your bosses. You feel like you feel like you have no direction in life, and the only direction you have is people's opinions, or the only direction you have, like the only way you make decisions is based on your emotions. Your emotions are not the voice of God. Amen. Your emotions are not the voice of God. Amen? Amen? Whoever said that follow your heart was a liar. Because sometimes my heart wants to do things that I really shouldn't do. But the Spirit of God is perfect. And the Spirit of God wants to be one. God, literally, Jesus said, I want to make my home. I want to make my home inside of you. Amen. That is what every single one of you guys were created for. Amen? Amen. Are you guys getting something?
Yeah.
Let's go to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3. Proverbs. Actually, no.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is a good one. But we'll get to it after. Go to John chapter 11, verse 32. Right before we pick up where the story is. So Lazarus, everyone say Lazarus.
Lazarus.
Is sick. He's not feeling well. And so Mary and Martha, they send for Jesus to come and heal him. But instead of coming right away, he waits for how many days? 2 days, sir. It's okay. You can read it at home. It's chapter 11, John. He waits for 2 days. And then when he gets there, this is what happens. Actually, he gets there and they find out he's dead. Jesus was too late. Or was he? Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Go back. Jesus groaning in the spirit here is not a positive thing, by the way. He was actually bothered when he groaned in the spirit, and which in a little bit we'll see why. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Good. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. I read this and I thought about how, I think it's funny that it's women saying this and not like any of the men. Because in my experience, sometimes when things smell really bad, what I want to do is I want to share that with like my friends. Like, hey, smell how bad this is. And then like, oh, and then like, hey, Angel, hey, Georgie, come in. And then like, we're like, oh, that's disgusting. And then we'd like throw it away. And it's just so funny because like, anyways. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, everyone say
believe,
you would see the glory of God?
Then
they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Yeah. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Stay right there. Mary had the faith for Jesus to heal Lazarus when he was sick. But when it came to him being dead, her faith was lacking. I want to tell you guys today, no matter where you're, even if you're going to meet Jesus today, or you've already met Jesus today, or you've been a longtime Christian, have faith in God that he can do the amazing and the miraculous. You might have the faith like, oh God, there's this promotion coming up in my job. God, I need this promotion. And then you don't get the promotion. And are you going to act like Mary and say, God, why did you give me the promotion? Now it's too late. Now I got fired because of it. Or will you say, God, just because I didn't get the promotion doesn't mean you're not going to promote me. Just because I didn't get the promotion doesn't mean you're not going to give me a better job. And for many of you, you guys need some increase in faith, some increase. You need your faith increased. Some of you might be believing to get Wednesday nights off and Sundays off so you can be here consistently. Listen, coming to church is the best thing you can do in your life, amen? Going to school and going to doctors and all those things, those might be fine, but there's a eternal appetite. Everyone say eternal appetite. That every single one of us has for experiencing God. That is the truth. If it weren't true, then if that weren't true for your life, then you probably wouldn't be here this morning. But every single one of us have that curiosity. We have that provoking, that there's something higher. There's a better life out there. Your life doesn't just consist of a 9-to-5 job or just your family. Your life does not just consist of whatever your sphere is. There's a higher calling on your life. At the 9 a.m. service, the point of the service was to encourage every single one of us to serve. Every single one of us are a part of this body. You don't just come here and listen to the word and go home and live your life as if nothing happened here. In James, actually, let's go to the James scripture. James 2:14. What does it profit, my brother, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead, guys. And to have and your faith in God goes hand in hand with serving him. It's true. Jesus said, if you love me, you would obey my commandments. You can't say you're a Christian. You can't say, Jesus, I love you and I believe in you, and not serve him. That's not how it works. It's like, I don't know if you have kids, but do any of you guys, any of you moms or dads get upset when you tell your kid to do something? And they're like, okay, and then they don't do it. And then like half an hour later, like the trash is really stinky or the restroom didn't get cleaned. Right? When you came into God's family, your life changed. Your eyes and your perception was opened up to a whole new world, to a whole new destiny, a calling. So the truth is, because Satan has a plan for you too. And the fact is that every single one of you guys, you have a free will. Every single one of you guys have an unlimited amount of paths in front of you. I want to say paths. You can go this way, you can go that way. You can go anywhere. It's your life. You can make whatever decisions you want. You can be whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. You can achieve whatever you want to achieve. But as for me, I don't have a life. 6 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus. And I told him, Jesus, I don't know how to run my life. I'm tired of being tossed to and fro. I'm tired of being led by emotions. God, you help me. God, you help me. And some of you need that this morning. You're tired of being tossed to and from, and you need Jesus in your life. You need to completely confide in him. Amen. Trust him. Yes. Trust. And just because things look bad, and just because things might have gotten worse, he went from being sick to dying, just because things might seem like they got worse, God has not forsaken you, and God has a plan. Amen. If you stay faithful to him, it's. I love this. Sorry, go back to we were in John chapter we're in John chapter 11, and so Mary has this attitude of, Jesus, if you would have been here, you would have lived. But then Jesus, faithful as he is, he raises Lazarus from the dead. And in the very next chapter, Mary has a very different attitude. In chapter 11, it's almost like she's like complaining, saying, Jesus, where were you? But then in chapter 12, let's go to chapter 12, verse 1. Jesus comes back to Lazarus' house. Then 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, everyone say Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary, everyone say Mary.
Mary.
This is the same Mary who just last chapter was saying, Jesus, where were you? And I believe some of us have asked that question. I've asked that question. God, where were you when this happened to me when I was 7 years old? Or God, where were you when this happened when I was 21 years old? Or God, why did you allow for my job to lay me off? Or why did you allow my kids to go through this? Or why did you allow me, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance and the oil. Mary took something that was very precious to her, and she anoints Jesus' feet, and she gives it to him, something that was dear to her, something that was valuable to her. It reminds me of the scripture that it's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. Listen, Jesus didn't have to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus is going to say, man, you complain. You know, I'm going to get out of here. I won't do anything for you. But despite Mary's attitude, Jesus still raises Lazarus from the dead. Why? So that they can believe that he can do the things that God has asked him to do. So he can work miracles. Not only for Lazarus, but for Mary and for Martha.
Right.
And now Mary's attitude is completely changed. We don't even hear her say anything. She just goes up to Jesus and she anoints his feet and she gives him something of value. God has put something inside of every single one of you of value. You hear of these singers and these songwriters who started out singing in the church choir and now they're in the world on drugs committing suicide. Because that gift wasn't meant for the world. The gift was meant to glorify God. See, everything you have and anything that you are was created for the worship to worship God. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. One of my favorite scriptures ever. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Everyone say living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. See, worship doesn't end when we stop singing. Worship doesn't end when we stop clapping. Worship doesn't end when we stop dancing. Worship is who you are. Worship is what you do not only inside the church, but you worship when you go home. You worship when you go to your work. You worship when you talk to your kids. You worship with whatever you do. This is who every single one of us are called to be. We are called to be worshipers in our lifestyle. Amen? It's who we are.
Amen.
And when Jesus came into my life, this is what I wanted to be. I just wanted to be a living sacrifice. In some ways, it's easy to die for your faith. I'd say it's probably a lot easier for you to die for your faith, but it's not so easy to live for your faith because of the distractions, because of the being tossed to and fro because of all the emotions. Has anyone here ever felt like just giving up? Listen, if you want to give up on yourself, that's fine, but don't give up on Jesus, because Jesus will never let you down. Amen. So in John chapter 11, Jesus raises up Mary from the dead. Sorry, Mary. Lazarus from the dead. Chapter 12, Mary is anointing Jesus' feet. Now we're going to go to chapter 13. Now in chapter 13, now it's Jesus. Go to John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" I don't know why he asked that. I mean, I think he just saw Jesus wash everyone else's feet. Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he..." Sir, thank you. "Than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Amen. Jesus came and he gave his life for every single one of you. He came and he served you. Listen, this just didn't happen 1,900 and something years ago. And then it just stays there. No, it's here and now. Jesus is still serving. Jesus is right now. Do you guys remember a dream that I had? Most of you probably ever heard it, but I love telling it, so I'm going to tell it anyway. I had a dream that I was in a dark room. I was in a dark room, and I was trying to pray. And I was having trouble praying. I couldn't focus. It was really hard, and I'm trying to pray, and, like, nothing's happening, and I don't know what's going on. It's just this dark room. And all of a sudden, this door opens, and I see Jesus standing outside. And he has his hands out. And so I go up, obviously it's Jesus, so I go up to him. I was like, "Oh my gosh, Jesus." And I go up to Jesus, and he takes my hands, and he starts praying for me. And I remember just crying and just weeping. Because I just felt Jesus saying, like, "You're not alone. You have someone on your side that is helping you, that is supporting you." Which is scriptural, by the way. Jesus right now is at the right hand of God, interceding, praying for every single one of you. At this moment, he is serving you. And Jesus said, "Listen, you guys aren't greater than I am. If I serve you, then you serve one another." Today is a day for us to stop living selfish lives. Lives that revolve around what our needs are and what our priorities are. Trust me, all those things will be taken care of. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things. Don't worry about it. All those things, they'll get taken care of. But put Jesus first. Stop trying to make all these things happen. Stop trying to get that promotion, or stop trying to do those things, and stop trying to make life happen on your own, and let God intervene. Amen? Let God come in and let him serve you, and then you serve each other. It's what you guys are called to do. We're called to be planted in the church and to serve. After service, go up to Pastor Vegas, go up to Pastor Tamara. Pastor Drew will say, what can I do to serve? We need to change our perspective that your work and your school and your family, that's not it. That's not it. There's so much more to life that God has for you. There's so much more. And you're never going to realize that potential. You're never going to figure out what God has put in you. In the Ephesians scriptures, scripture in chapter 4, it talks about how the teachers and the pastors and the evangelists, they're called to equip the saints. Everyone say, I'm a saint. And in the Greek, the word equipped, is the meaning of equipped isn't necessarily the way we say it. We say equipped like we're gonna empower someone, which is kind of the same thing. But in the Greek, to equip someone was for that scripture meant that a certain part of the body would find its true purpose, its true function. Our pastors are here to help us find our true function. And our true, I tell this to people who are graduating high school all the time. It's like, hey, like, before you go to college and you get and you change your major 4 or 5 times, or before you go and you get a job, and did anyone here change your major? And then eventually you're just like, you know, I'm just undeclared. I don't even know what I'm doing. Before you do any of that, college will still be there. Trust me. Before you do any of that, spend a year in the internship and get close to God. And completely immerse yourself in ministry. Immersing myself in ministry was the best decision I have ever made in my entire life. People think I'm crazy for it. And people have told me, like, hey, you know, maybe you should back off a little bit. It's like, no, I want more of it. I want more of it. I want to do more. A few Saturdays ago, when the rain came and the winds came and the canopies are tumbling and the light posts are falling down, there's glass breaking and tables are turning, and all the interns are out there. We're soaking wet and the wind is blowing. And I just remember like yelling at the wind, like, you know what? Is that all you got? Is that all you got? What can Satan do to me? He can bring the winds. He can bring the rain. But my love for Jesus will trump everything and anything that life throws at me. Some of you guys need that. You guys need that foundation of no matter what happens in my life, I'm okay. No matter what happens in my life, I got Jesus and that's all I need. We live lives so dependent on people's opinions and so dependent on what people think about us and so dependent on our emotions and our feelings and our retaliations and bitterness and unforgiveness and all these things, and we let those things lead our lives. Church, let us let go of those things, to let go of those weights and those sins that so easily ensnare us. Those things that trip us up and that make us not enjoy life. Guys, enjoy life.
Yes, come on. Amen.
But true joy comes from the Lord.
Amen.
You're not gonna find I say this a lot to the youth. You can't fix internal issues with external solutions.
Wow.
Things that are going on in here will not fix by things that are out there.
Come on.
They didn't create your inner parts. They didn't form you. They don't know how to fix you. The doctors are going to try. The psychologists are going to try. Your teachers are going to try. But in the end, things that are going on in here are fixed by Jesus. Amen?
Come on, amen.
Amen. Bow your heads and close your eyes. If anything I said this morning spoke to you, I mean, or this afternoon, I spoke to you, and you feel the tugging, you feel that pull of the Holy Spirit to completely immerse yourself in a relationship with God, in completely committing to Him and just giving up on everything and really just focusing on Jesus. And whatever that means to you, God will speak to you. Whether it's you got to start reading your Bible every day, or you got to start coming to Sunday morning prayer, or start showing up on Wednesdays, or, you know, start showing up on Saturdays and helping get the church ready for service. Whatever that pull is, whatever that calling that God is trying to pull out of you, accept it this morning and respond to it. Because I know that the Holy Spirit is pulling on you right now. I know that the Holy Spirit is encouraging you and saying, you can do it. There's more. There's more. Have faith and believe that just like Mary had enough faith for the healing, but she didn't have enough faith for the resurrection of Lazarus. Believe in Jesus. And just like Jesus said to Mary, did I not tell you that if you would just believe, you would see the glory of God? So if that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand and we're going to pray together. Father, you see the hands that are raised. And ultimately, God, it's not up to us whether we serve you, but it's not up to you whether we serve you, but it's up to us, God. And so we make that commitment, God, that we're gonna trust in you. That we're not gonna be led by our emotions, led by man's opinion, but we're gonna be led by the Spirit of God. And we're gonna let you dictate our lives, God. As ridiculous as people might say it is. I'm a Jesus freak, and that's okay. And so I pray for everyone that has their hands raised, Father, that you give them grace and you give them mercy, Father, and that you just that you continue to edify them, Father. And I pray that we edify each other, Lord, to complete the work that you have called this church to do, Father. In your name, Jesus, amen.
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 Wow. I think Joel said right at the beginning that your emotions are not the voice of God. What a great thing for us to, that is a great saying that is so true. I want to read to you a scripture. It's in Isaiah. And I want you to catch what's going on with the emotions and how people feel. And then I want you to catch what the truth is, as the Word of God illuminates it. This is Isaiah 49:13. He says, shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. Did that go 1:13? Okay. But Zion said, Zion represents the church, it represents us. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, now listen to this, this is beautiful. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. Joel talked in the beginning in Jeremiah there, when he talked about, I knew you, what did he say? I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, or I formed you in your mother's womb. Listen to this scripture that we just went over last week. This is all over the Word of God, where God is constantly, that's why it's so important that we read our Bible every day, or we get a real wrong perspective of who God is and who we are to him. This is in Psalms 139:16. It says, your eyes saw my unformed body. See, was it? See, before we were ever even conceived, God saw us. He knew us. It's a beautiful thing, amen, to have a God. And we don't always get that perspective from people who will tell you who God is and who you are to God. Don't let anyone tell you who you are to God except for God, amen. The reading the Bible is one of the greatest things you will ever do for yourself. The Word is alive. It's life to those who find it. We say all the time, we read our Bible at Hope every day. Every day as we take in just the goodness of God and understand who we are to Him. It'll make you walk differently. It'll make you live differently. It'll make you think differently. It'll just lift you up. That's what the Word of God does. That's what God does. Joel, as Pastor opened up, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. So as Joel was coming up here, and Pastor said, you know, receive him. Obviously, I mean, do you ever run into people, and it's like, if you're younger than them, they're like, well, you ain't going to teach me nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? It's called pride. But you know what? Thank you, Joel. Great word. And what a great word from God to all of us. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. It's a humble person who's just hungry and ready to receive. Amen. And we see God, and I think you mentioned this in the opening, we see God use all kinds of people. We need to get a perspective of how incredible we are to God and how He sees us. Amen.
Amen.
Because He sees us really differently than we see ourselves.
Amen.
And that's why it's good to get some direction from Him. Did you have something that you wanted to add to that?
I just, you know what, got a revelation knowledge as Joel talked about. I just saw the word picture of God praying for me. And as you were sharing that, Joel, I just felt so empowered. I felt like, wow, that is so, and you didn't know that, Pastor? No, I knew that. But I was reminded of the truth that God is praying for me and He believes in us and He calls us, I thought in the first service, He calls us faithful. You know what? Guys, listen, if you didn't care about God, then you'd be at home watching football. You know what I mean? You'd be in your bed, you know what, hugging the pillow. You'd be doing something around the house. Let me tell you what. God is proud of you. Jesus is praying for you. You know what? God has put His Spirit inside you. Yeah, but it doesn't make any difference. Yesterday was yesterday. You're here today. And we love you, and God loves you, and God is praying for you. And He believes in you. And so do we.
Amen. I wanted to just, Iris, how many of you know Joel's mom? Ah, Iris, will you just slip your hand up? I won't do much, ask you for, you'll stand if you don't mind, stand. This is Joel's mom. Iris, from the first day I met Joel, I just want to say this because what a man of God.
Amen.
Before he even knew God. Do you understand? I was not born and raised in the church. Many of you know that. But it's so interesting because my father, we didn't go to church. My father would not have told you he's a Christian. He didn't read his Bible every day. But my father taught us to care and to have character and to have integrity. My father didn't know it, but that's all the Word. Do you understand that? Even though he didn't associate it to God, he was teaching me all about God my whole life. And we just weren't calling it what it was. But So in church, out of church, you know, got saved, you know, not until the end of graduation. Here's the truth. You know what, Iris, you, Joel, is a jewel around your neck. It tells us something about who you are. You know what, that you've raised such an incredible person. So thank you. We love him like you now. He was impressive from the first time I met him. And I'll tell you, this is the honest truth. I remember watching Joel and thinking, wow, someone raised him right. And then later on in life, I got to meet the someone. So thank you very much, and thank you to Victor. I know he's not here with us right now, but thank you to you both for your love to him and just for raising him to be the special person that he is.